All right, number 5, chapter 5 of Jeremiah. Let's begin reading verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read those verses again, even though we started with 1 and 2 and last month by way of background. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. All right, what did we say last week about this first one, this run to and forget? Yes, honey. Just put live, honey. Put the live. DVD. What do you got there?
It's coming back now. It says, there I have a curve, press enter.
Well, what are you doing, Vaughn?
I'm not doing anything.
Did you push the start on the thing?
Yes, it was going. I don't know what to do when it says there I have a curve.
What? I did already change it.
I don't know what to do.
That's all right. Just keep on discussing Jeremiah chapter 5.
Well, there's a blue light flag on the play up there, Dan.
Keep on discussing Jeremiah.
You want to take a look at it? Now, you've got the regular video going, Bob?
I didn't do anything.
Did you push the button and start on the regular video?
Yes.
And you pushed the start up on the top?
Go ahead and talk.
All right. What did we decide that the first verse going through in the street of Jerusalem and see? What was Jeremiah to be looking for? What was he to be looking for in verse 1? And why was he looking for that? What would happen if he found what he was looking for?
Looking for righteous men.
He's looking for righteous men. How many righteous men would he need?
One.
Just one. How many did he look for and did he want to see there? Didn't work then, over there? How many righteous men did he see as far as the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Ten.
You know, just ten. He found ten. Couldn't find the ten. How many did he end up with?
One.
Well, there's more than one.
Well, but really, there was only one.
One man, but how many people came out?
With Lot.
Lot.
His wife.
His wife.
And
two daughters. Okay, so they. How many came out of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Oh, okay.
All right, Anna.
The real only righteous one was that Lot, though, because his wife turned.
Turned back.
Came as a pot.
Pillar of salt.
Salt.
That's right.
And then, well, his daughters, they slept with him and made him drunk.
That's right. So they were bad girls, weren't they?
Yeah, so really, he was the only righteous.
That's right. He was kind of bad father, so it's all three of them. But they at least the Lord spared didn't spare the city, but they did spare those lives. Yes, Anna?
But Lot, well, he didn't really know what was happening.
Well, that's what they say. Drunk people always say they didn't know what's happening. But I really believe, even in the drunkest stupor of people that get drunk today, they really know what they're doing. They like to pass it off. As a naval chaplain, I saw a lot of drunks, in the Marine Corps especially. And I see, and you know, the next day, they may not say they remember a whole lot, but they remember what they said, what they did, and more than they'd like to let on at the time. But he was looking for a person that executes judgment, that seeks truth, and then he says, I will pardon it. What does pardon mean?
It says, I forgive.
Forgive, all right. He will let all the things go, all the sins go, and just overlook them, and let it by, and pardon the judgment. Now, what hypocrisy was there in verse 2 that we discussed last week? What hypocrisy do we see? And is this a problem with believers today, Christians today? What is hypocrisy? What happens?
They said the Lord liveth, but they swear falsely.
What does that mean? They swear falsely.
They don't believe it.
They really don't believe it. A lot of people say, oh my, if the Lord wills, I'll do this and this, and they don't anymore believe the Lord or what He wills. But so the people were false swearers. They were liars. And the Lord liveth. You know, they use the word Lord all the time, but they don't really mean it. And then in verse 3, and we start tonight on that one that we didn't take up last week. Where are the Lord's eyes fixed?
On the truth. truth.
On the truth. And in Scripture, what are some of the verses that deal with truth? Where do we find truth today?
In the Word of God.
The Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Remember in our high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, the Lord said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What about John 14:6? Jesus said unto them, I
am
the way, the truth, and the life. So there's truth, eternal truth. And are not thine eyes, Jeremiah said, upon the truth? Then what happened in verse 3? What did the Lord do to these rebellious people of Judah? And what did they do in return? And why did they do it that way? And was it right to do it that way, what they did?
The Lord stricken them.
All right. And that means what?
He could have given them leprosy. He could have killed them. He could have, whatever way he struck them.
He gave them some sickness or some penalty or some punishment. It has to be stricken. And what was their reaction? Were they humbled then? They say, Lord, I've sinned. And this, what does it say?
Have no grief.
What does it mean to grieve? It's a good word, isn't it? What does it mean? What is it?
Does it mean like
they're
sad?
Sad, yes. That's exactly what it means, Anna. They didn't were sad. They just were cocky. They were arrogant. They were proud. They didn't care. God has consumed them. And what happened to them then? What was their reaction to God's consuming them? Actual penalties and harshness?
They refused to be corrected.
They did not receive any correction. Does the Lord want us to be corrected when He corrects us? He wants us to receive it and to profit by it, see? Just like the father and mother, when they correct the child, wants the child to be corrected and to do right. It isn't because the mother and father hate the child. They want that child to grow up straight and strong and honest and above board. And they receive no correction. And are there people today that seem to receive no correction?
Yeah.
Yes, there are children that receive no correction, adults that receive no correction, young people, all kinds of people they receive. And regardless of what happens, they don't seem to learn from it. They go right back. It says in the book of 2 Peter, the sow that was washed is returned to what? The wallowing in the mire. Remember the sow that was washed, the pigs. They just go right back, and they don't care. Wash them up, and they go right back to their old ways. And what does it mean to have a hardened face like a rock? What does that mean?
When they were corrupted, they didn't cry. They made their faces hard. They said they were defiant.
Defiant. Our faces let people see what a lot of times is in our hearts. Am I right? Not always. But some people can hide their hard hearts easier than others. But they hardened their faces like a rock. And then what does this last part mean? They refused to return. Return where? Return?
To obeying God.
To obeying the Lord. That's right, to obeying God. They refused. So all the correction didn't take. There's nothing more they could do. It's a stubbornness. Just like trying to train a wild horse, you know, that doesn't want to be trained. It's difficult. I've never trained a wild horse, but I've understood that it's very difficult. It takes a while to break that down. Titus 3, verse 4, 5, and 6 together. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will give me unto the great men, and will speak unto them. They have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and the wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. So in verse 4, what different judgments does the Lord make upon these people of Judah? There are at least three of them here, aren't they? What's he tell about them? What's he say that they are?
Poor.
First of all, poor. In what way are they poor? Could they be rich and still be poor? Could they be rich and still be poor?
Yes.
Depends on how you mean by rich, how many be poor. How can you be rich and poor at the same time? Tell me how that's done.
You have all the world and lose your soul.
I have all the world and lose your soul. Rich in a lot of things and the goods, but poor in soul.
From Laodicea, I think it was said that they were rich but poor.
All right, that's right.
Made a mistake.
That's right. Thou sayest, I have need of nothing. See? But knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and naked.
So in a monetary, physically speaking, they
yes.
were rich, but spiritually speaking, they were poor. At least in my
yes.
idea. And so perhaps that's the case here. In,
I think that's in, certainly one of the...
Israel here.
And it says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. They should see God. So there's a poverty of spirit, there's a humbleness, a humility of spirit, and then there's a poverty of actual money. I think the Church of Rome, rich and well-to-do, but in spirit, they're poor because of the priest scandals and all the things that they do and the Assumption of Mary. And other churches are the same way, and not just Rome, but modernistic, liberal, Protestant churches, some Baptists, in fact, and Presbyterians and Lutherans, a different one, rich but poor because they don't have the things of the Lord. What else does he call them?
You have a therefore back, therefore.
All right, therefore.
Going back to verse 3.
Go ahead.
Because their faces are harder than a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse to return. Therefore, the conclusion is they're poor.
That's right. And if they returned to the Lord, if he could have found one, he would have pardoned the city. He couldn't find one. Corrected them more. They still didn't take it. They refused correction. Therefore, that's right then. Whenever you have a therefore, be sure you know what it's there for. That's what they say. These are poor. What's the second an assessment?
Foolish.
Foolish. Now, what is a fool? What is the definition of a fool?
A fool has
set his heart. There's no God. Anna, do you have a definition of a fool?
A fool is someone... Ask a minute.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. She's going to look at her definition there. She's got a nice little definition, a dictionary right there, small dictionary. Do people who are fools know they're the fools?
A stupid person.
Stupid person.
A jester.
A jester.
We're looking for a noun, so...
Looking for a noun, okay.
So,
in contrast with one who is not wise.
One who is not wise, all right. The absence of wisdom would be folly. And folly, do fools know they're fools always, or much?
No.
No, fools that are really fools think that many times they're wise, all right? I'm sure these people here didn't think that they were foolish. In their own peer groups, they're all sinning, all going to the idols, all praying to false gods. So, well, we're just as good as the rest of them. But God says they're foolish. What's the third thing, the assessment that he makes of them?
They know not the way of the Lord.
All right, they know not the way. Where do you find the way of the Lord? Where is that to be found today or even then? Does he know the way? What does it say in Psalm 119, verse 105? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And also, Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, that's the way, his way. God wants us to know his way, doesn't he? And therefore, he wants us to know his words and to read and study. They know not. And what else don't they know? And the fourth assessment, verse 4.
Judgment of their God.
All right, and what is the sense of judgment here?
The
two different senses, aren't there?
Judgment as far as the discernment.
Discernment, all right. They don't know the discernment, the judgment, how his wisdom is and how it operates. So these are poor people, they're foolish people, they don't know the way, they don't know the judgment.
I mean, it could also be the other type of judgment.
Yes,
possible.
The severity of punishment.
Judgment. They don't realize that. Or the consequences of whatever it is. If you mentioned someone who's controlled by a foreign substance, they may act foolish.
Yes.
And their foolishness may cause, in their foolishness, they may commit some crime, either minor or major,
mm-hmm.
and judgment.
Judgment as well. Yes. Does the drunk have a lot of judgment? No. Or the people on dope, the judgment is gone, the discernment is gone. So, and also, if it's a judgment of punishment, they don't know that they're going to get very greatly punished, and therefore the judgment, they don't understand what's
even,
coming.
I mean, even in a certain sense, even the judge, the makers of the law don't have some of the makers of the law do not have a thorough understanding of judgment either.
That's right.
I mean, somebody could be a very moral person, but their works of being good and moral are not going to, or if they're not a laborer, they will not accomplish anything.
That's
our analysis.
Exactly right. So their judgment is warped, is it not? Unless they know the Lord and know His word and stay in the Lord's word.
But here these people have these, they're going against, their faces are harder than a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And they've refused to return, which indicates that they know that they have left. Someone refuses to return, we seem to indicate that they acknowledge that they have left something.
Mm-hmm. And they also know that they've been told to return, and they've refused. In other words, they know what they're doing. The Lord didn't sneak up on him.
You recall the parable of the prodigal son. He realized the situation he was in, and he came to senses, and he chose to return.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't refuse to return. But here in this case, they're far foolisher than he was.
Yes.
Their foolishness is greater.
Mm-hmm. I will return to my father. And the son was pardoned because he did return.
I mean, so now that, I mean, that's on a lower level, but here's on a more of a higher level. On a human level, one human relationship to another human relationship. Here we have man's relationship to God, and they're being harder than a rock.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand the judgment of their God.
That's true.
And because they're harder than a rock, it says they're poor, they're foolish, they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God.
Mm-hmm. So these are one set of people in verse 4. What about verse 5? The Lord goes to each one class of people and gives the assessment of them. Where's he going to go next?
To
great men. Great men. All right. Now, what is a great man or a great woman? What is greatness? Before the Lord, greatness before the world. Are there two different greatnesses?
Yes.
Two different standards. What is the standard of one? What's the standard of the other? It says of John the Baptist, he was great in the sight of the Lord. It's the book of Luke. I preached on that one time in Bethel Baptist Church years and years ago. The greatness, as far as God is concerned, is the sight of the Lord. That's greatness. It is real great. What about the world? What makes a person, man or woman, boy or girl, great in the sight of the eyes of the world?
Money.
Money and power makes them great. Maybe good looks. Yes, God. Maybe influence.
Wasn't there that woman that Elijah, that made the room for Elijah? Wasn't she called a great woman?
Yes, she was a great woman of the place where she lived.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Great woman of...
Where? I always remember that.
Yes.
It would be wonderful to call
her
a great woman.
Great woman.
But if John the Baptist was judged in the people of that time, they wouldn't have thought he was a great woman.
No, that's right.
Because he was in the wilderness. Because
that's right. He ate locusts, wild honey, dressed badly. What did Herod's daughter-in-law, or whatever, stepdaughter, what did he think? What did she think of it?
She wanted his head.
That's right. The mother wanted the head. The daughter said, okay, this is the request.
His
preaching was too strong. You should not have this woman. This wife, your adultery, she's another man's, another whatever. She's married to someone, Philip's wife, and it's not lawful for thee to have her. So off with his head. No, greatness. They went to the great man, and he spoke to them. Now, what was their situation? Was it the same or different than these others?
Because they have known the way of the Lord.
So at least they knew. The others, they know not. See, verse 4, they know not. These are people that know the way of the Lord. That's a contrast. Or what else?
And they knew the judgment.
They knew the judgment, but these other people didn't know the judgment. See, here's a contrast, am I right? Mm-hmm. What else in verse 5 about these men? What have they done, knowing the judgment and knowing the way of the Lord?
Altogether broken the yoke.
Now, what would that mean? And burst the bonds. What yoke? Whose yoke? What is a yoke?
They put it on cattle.
Cattle. There's usually, how many cattle they put that on?
Two.
Usually two. It's a pair, isn't it? And when the Lord Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," what is the picture that He portrayed? He's going to be in one part, and you're going to be the other. Take my yoke and go with me. That's the yoke of the Lord, isn't it?
It's the shed his breath to not be
unequally yoked. That's right. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, with unbelievers. So to break the yoke of the Lord, what would that imply?
The Lord,
all right, and they no longer wanted to walk with him. They didn't want to do his will. They didn't want to do what he said. What is this, the birth of bonds? What bonds?
Holding that one to God.
Okay, what does that hymn say? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. See, there's a binding, there's a bond of Christian love with believers and to the Lord. Yvonne?
There's something about Isaiah, some place where the Lord takes and binds the person. How'd that go?
Bound with the cords of love? Where they draw me, drew me
yeah,
to him? Yes.
Like,
as I bound them? Yeah, so, and it says that we are not to do that which anymore was unrighteousness, but we're to do that which is righteous. We've broken the bonds of wickedness and sin in Romans chapter 6. And we should live unto the Lord in our own righteousness and not unto. So the bonds of the Lord. Does the Lord want us to have a yoke?
Yes.
Yes, he wants us to have the yoke. He wants us to be in bound to him and his servant. What does the word Lord mean? Kurios. What does that mean?
Jehovah.
That's one of the things. In the New Testament, what would that mean? It's like master, one to whom someone obeys, one who's and so it's a bondage, it's a slavery really, wholly doing the will of another. That's what the word kurios and Lord is. It's doing the will of another, an absolute slave to the Lord. See, and when the Lord uses that word, so a slave that has burst the bonds, he says, I want no more part of the Lord. I don't want anything to do with him. I want to go my own way. A horse that has no bridle, has no rider, what does he do?
Runs wild.
Just goes anywhere he wants. Not under anybody's yoke, anybody's bit, bridle, and so they burst their bonds. What's the penalty in verse 6? Because these wise, great men, rather, have gone astray. What does God say he's going to do? Probably in a figurative sense, but there's three or four animals here. Who's the most ferocious of the animals?
All terrible.
Okay, you got all terrible. The lion is going to slay them. What's the next animal?
Wolf.
Spoil them. What's the third animal?
Leopard.
And torn in pieces, three animals. Why are they going to be torn in pieces? Why does God turn these animals on them, as it were? Now, whether this is a figurative thing as far as the oncoming Babylons or whether it's true, beasts in the land, sometimes he uses it. Because if you remember in our Bible reading this week, book of Leviticus, you follow me and do what I say, this will happen. If you do not what I say, then, one of the thens is, wild beasts of the land will devour you. So he set the beasts on them, see. And they didn't have a lot of tame beasts like they have on today. So there's the word tame, so it could be literal as well as figurative. What is the reason for Yvonne?
Remember, was it Elisha?
It wasn't Zarephath, the widow of Zarephath.
Okay. I'm talking about this
bald headed. Go down that bald head.
Elisha.
Go up that bald head.
See Elisha.
With Elisha, and then didn't they do it for Elisha? Just Elisha. Just Elisha.
Well, they didn't have I think the reason I did it, they were aware of it, or they had testimony of what happened to Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was taken up in the chariot of fire, and so. When Elisha got the mantle, they wanted him to do the same thing. Go up in a chariot of fire.
Mm-hmm.
So right.
But they were disrespectful, weren't they, calling him the bald head?
The she-bears.
She-bears got him.
They were
teenage
children.
Yes.
They were little ones, and they got killed by the bears.
Yes, the bears got
him. It's been said they were teenage children.
Yeah. They may have been, whatever their age.
I'm not saying that. Advocating they were younger than teenage children. I mean, it's possible they'd have been older.
Right. Anna?
They were children. That's what the Bible says.
They were children, and we don't know the definition of what that would be. Whether they'd be big, sometimes children.
Something about the original language being older than older children.
Well, it could be. So, but the thing is.
All right, well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't care. Maybe we should get the Greek one out rather than the Hebrew.
The Hebrew, that's right. What was the reason for God's punishment of these three animals, literal or figurative? What was his reason for this? Why were they going to be punished by these wicked, evil beasts?
It's the word, the wherefore.
All right.
Right to verse 5.
Wherefore?
They broke the yoke, or the, when they burst the bonds.
That's right.
And because of that,
the lion,
they're not going
the wolf,
to,
and the leopard. What is it?
When they go out of the city, they're going to be torn in pieces.
All right. And what does the Bible say about a leopard? Do you remember? Can the leopard change its spots? Or the Ethiopian skin? Neither can a people accustomed to do evil do good. That's the rest of that verse. And so the leopard changing its spots. So these, because the wherefore that, because everyone goeth out, fence shall be torn to pieces. And the reason being, as Dan says, because of their badness, but even in verse 6, because their transgressions are many. Backsliding has increased. What's a transgression? All right. That's from two Latin words. Trans is across. Gradio is to go. Going across. Stepping across. Transgression means there's a law and you go over it. You disobey it. See? Sin can be, whether there's a law or not, if you do that which is wrong, it's sin. But the transgression, that means there's a law that stop at this stop sign. You don't stop. That's a transgression. Transgradio. It's to go across. Yes, Anna?
It's sort of like a trespassing.
Yeah, like that. Trespass. That's right.
Because it was like there would be a fence and it
says
private property, do not go past, or you
were
climbing on the fence.
That's right. So you are transgressing, you're trespassing. And so they've trespassed, and also backsliding has increased. And again, backsliding is what? It's a picturesque word, isn't it?
Backsliding is
all right, God can't look upon sin. You just step away from sin, from the Lord, and you go worse, further and further, and slide back away. Sometimes horses and mules who have been kicked by their owners, meaning they want to go forward, sometimes they just are very stubborn. They just back up, see? Now, some horses are trained to back up, and that's a very good horses and circuses and so on. And you pull just right, they will be trained to back up, and that's very good, see? But others are stubborn. You remember the Balaam's ass that was the ones that talked to him, and he would not go forward. He just would stop right there. So backsliding is a terrible thing. Yes, Anna?
The mule wasn't stubborn. The mule wasn't stubborn because God was using him.
That's true, but he acted stubbornly. He did not. He acted stubbornly. No question.
But he wasn't stubborn because God was using him. God wanted him to stop.
But his actions looked like stubbornness, didn't they?
But they weren't.
Okay, but they look like it. The bottom line was they look like it. Yes, all right.
My point is they weren't.
All right, but my point is it looked like it. So we have both points. Yeah, Dan, you want to solve that problem?
I mean, from Balaam's standpoint, perhaps that was the case, but from the mule standpoint, he was aware. He saw something Balaam did not see.
That's right. Balaam was being stubborn.
Balaam was stubborn. God says, don't go. And he went. Exactly. Yeah, go ahead. Tammy, have something?
No.
All right. Yeah.
Judy has a little dog that when it's cold out, she puts the coat on the little dog to go out. And the dog loves to go out. So uh-huh. She's always, as soon as she puts that coat on, the dog wants to stand and won't move. Like,
really?
I'm not going out with this coat on.
Oh, really? Huh. I understand.
I was embarrassed.
Well, we don't want to backslide. And as the man that first was here several weeks ago when we talked about backsliding, you remember, he said it's a falling from grace.
But he defined what he meant by that.
Yes, because I asked him, does that mean losing your salvation? and he sort of defined it in some other way and so on. But if a person is backslidden and he claims to be saved, or she claims to be saved, has backslidden to the Lord, so he or she looks just like a lost person, does a person observing that person have every right to question that person whether they are saved or whether they're lost?
Yes.
See, by their fruits you shall know them. So beware, he said, of false prophets. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. So it's hard to tell, isn't it? But then again, the Lord knoweth him that are, them that are his. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and he said that some of our people, he named three of them that used to attend our church or do attend our church, whatever, in some way, were lost. I said, that very well may be true, but we don't know for sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. But let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the thing that we should do, not be backslidden. So the Lord knows them that are his. All right, any other comments on verse 6 before we go on?
In the dispensation of law, I mean, was there any element of grace? I mean, there was not to the same extent there is in the dispensation of grace. So
yes, God still was gracious, wasn't he? Long suffering and gracious, even under law.
How do we differentiate between backsliding under law and backsliding under grace during those time periods? Or if you want to look at it, backsliding before the cross and backsliding after the cross. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate between the two?
Well, backsliding before the cross, they didn't have the New Testament.
But as far as
they still had the Word of God, and they rejected it. New Testament, they have it, and they rejected it.
But as far as the were they backsliding as a nation or as a individual? As far as the salvation doesn't change.
I mean, that's true.
I mean, the Old Testament they look forward to it, the New Testament they look back to it. But here, were these people even looking? Did they ever look to salvation?
Well, that's
these people
that
are backsliding.
And we don't know whether that's the Old Testament sense.
So, in that sense, is it? Did they even have a grace to fall from?
Yeah.
Or did they have grace to begin with? Did they have the glimpse of what the cross was?
Well, that's the thing that the Lord doesn't tell specifically. It does say that they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment, and they've broken the yoke and the bonds. They may not have ever known.
That seems to me they're rejecting it. If they've broken the bands, broken the bonds, they're rejecting it.
Yes.
They may be aware, they may have been exposed to it, but they're rejecting it. And since...
So they'd be lost and not saved. And anyway, that's what you're saying.
The word backsliding is there. It's used today, but what does it mean in the Old Testament?
Yes, I was giving the New Testament definition or understanding, but the Old Testament could be they were never saved in the first place, never even looked forward to Calvary.
Nation as a whole, I mean, God chose a nation. God chose Abraham.
That's right.
And in the New Testament, God has chosen a church.
Mm-hmm.
In a both or perhaps in a loose sense or in a particular sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is an appropriate way of looking at backsliding from the Old Testament vantage point?
I think the Old Testament vantage point backsliding then would be they've just backed off from any outward display of worshiping the Lord and loving the Lord by going to idols and so on and so forth. Whether their heart was really genuinely for him or not to start with, we don't know. How would you put it? That would be about right.
So it's possible since they're a state religion.
Yes.
The nation of Israel did.
Mm-hmm.
Although they were rejecting it, which maybe perhaps that's what this backsliding is. They were rejection of Jehovah's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That would what it would be?
Yeah, I would think so, yes. Rejecting his leadership, rejecting what he wanted them to do, And
I mean, certainly there's breaking the yoke and breaking the bands and all these other things.
Exactly. They have rejected what the Lord wanted them to possess. Anything else, son?
Or they're foolish, knowing not the way of the Lord and the judgments of their God. They're just completely in the dark as far as what's happening. A lot of the their descendants today are in the same situation, it seems like.
Yes.
I guess we say completely in the dark. They don't know the judgments of the Lord. They don't know the way of God. They're missing the Messiah. Although some of them might be looking for the Messiah, holding on to their tradition. They are missing what the tradition is teaching them to look for.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. By the way, Dan, would you make a report Sunday at your church on the streaming?
All right, I'll do that.
All right, by the way. Take about 5 minutes if you can.
All right.
Yvonne?
I was thinking of, who is the backsliding heifer? Was it?
One of the prophets, Hosea.
Like backsliding.
Yes. That's right, they act like backsliding.
And you see, sometimes in my mind, I'm thinking of, I must have seen some cows or something. I experience, when they're going from the sliding back.
Mm-hmm. And you can't, the idea there is you can't stop them.
Well, they do wrong here.
There's a little they can do to prevent them from slipping.
Mm-hmm.
So, an automobile on the ice.
Yes. Skidding.
That's going out. Trying to go up an icy hill.
Mm-hmm.
You see pictures in the paper about this cars that just can't make up the hill because it's so icy.
Yes.
And so you have the picture that the heifer can't make any progress in the muddy field or up a muddy hill.
Sliding back.
They're not going in a positive direction. They're going in a negative direction.
That's right, and that's bad. All right, let's go on then. Verse. Nothing, you're fine. You were putting a me and not the audience when they were talking. That's all. You forgot what was being recorded. That's all. No problem. I know. Now let's go on to 7, 8, and 9 together. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full. They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one sighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? All right, so verse 7. The Lord was in a quandary, wasn't he? Ask a question. Sometimes we ask questions. Did the Lord know the answer to this question?
Yes.
Yes, he did. So it's what we call a rhetorical question, wasn't it? And he said, shall I pardon? What does he have to pardon for? What does he spell out the wickedness and sins of his people, Judah?
They had false gods.
False gods. And even before that, what have they done?
They
forsaken the Lord. And now, is it possible to forsake the Lord and not necessarily go after false gods? It is possible, just took one step. They had done both steps, hadn't they? They had forsaken and gone after. They had left and they joined. And forsaken. What does it mean to forsake the Lord? How do people forsake the Lord? Do they do it today? Or is that only Old Testament?
No, they do it today.
If they're saved, does the Lord forsake them?
No.
No. What did the Lord promise? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They promised in Hebrews chapter 13 that we may boldly say, and was it sworn by them that are no God? What does it mean to swear by a God?
Put trust and confidence.
Put trust and by that God you swear, that is, you're going to tell the truth, just like when they're sworn in, as they say in the military, they're sworn in to testify. Courts. And of course, I've always said as a Baptist, I don't believe in swearing. That's right. I will affirm testimony I'm about to give, whole truth, nothing but the truth. I will not swear. So they just said, all right, do you affirm? I said, fine, I affirm. But the swearing in, if you curse by the Lord, see, they say, people curse today, that's swearing. Some people say, I swear on my mother's grave, or this and that. See, But they're swearing and they're averring that they're going to tell the truth by false gods, those that are no gods. What would some of these no gods be? Do we have any today that are no gods? What would the no gods in the Old Testament be that they're swearing by? But somebody says, do you like postosis? And they say, I swear by them. In other words, I really like them. You know, that's just a word of swearing. They don't really swear, but that's a... what gods were there that were no gods in the Old Testament?
Baal.
Baal is what?
Ashtaroth.
Ashtaroth. Dagon. Molech. These are different gods. And all kinds of idols in every green tree and every hill. And then what had the gods that are no gods done anything for them? No. Had the Lord done anything for them?
Yes.
What had he done for them? What had he done?
He had led them out of Egypt.
That's right. And
did
they have any needs, really?
Yes.
But did they think they had needs in the old, in the wilderness? Did they think they had needs in the wilderness?
Oh, yes.
But did they really have any? But they complained, didn't they?
Yes.
What are their complaints? What do they say?
The leeks.
They want the leeks, the onions, the garlic. They remember the Egyptian food. They liked it. They were, you're taking us out to destroy us.
And they wanted meat.
They wanted meat. They wanted that meat, that flesh. God gave them what?
Quails.
To satisfy their lust. He gave them the request and sent leanness to their souls, it says in the Psalms. Isn't it? And what else did they request and what did God give them? Were they thirsty?
Yes, water.
They gave them water. What else in the way of solid food did the Lord provide?
Manna.
And how many years did he supply that?
40 years.
That's a long time for the Lord to have a free lunch. A long time. How many days did he let it fall from heaven? How many days of the week?
Six.
Six. What did they do on the seventh day?
Rest.
All right. So how much did they give on the sixth day?
Twice
as much. When people went out to gather it on the seventh day, there was nothing there. They gathered twice as much. So the Lord provided. I fed them to the full. I'm going to stop right here at verse 7, but do you have any other comments or questions tonight before we close? God really took care of them, yet they threw him over and backslid.
And it's also in Deuteronomy, because I'm reading Deuteronomy right now, my Bible reading. And he's telling them that he wants them to keep the statutes.
Yes.
And they're not doing that.
Not doing it at all. That's a terrible thing. Any other comments or questions before we close? Fine, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee that we can read and study and talk about thy word. We pray that our lives may not be backslidden lives in any way. Keep us strong for thee. Keep us on fire. Help us to know thy way and then to do thy way. And may we look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep in his yoke. Not cast it out from us. Our bonds. Help us to be bond men and bond women for the Lord Jesus Christ. Serving him acceptably. Go with us and bless us and use us. Bring us back safely on the Lord's day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray.